lesson might help you to follow along with that, finding the answers as we find them. Otherwise, who knows, it's early in the morning, somebody could nod off, and that would be an embarrassing situation for all of us. Good to be with you this morning. Thank you for being here this early morning hour. I know we're young people. I was asked to show you this morning. We got this, it came to me and sent to Wayne Holt as well. This was sent by one of the evangelists that we support in Zimbabwe, sent to us overnight. His name is Kuda Kwashi. We call him Kuda for short. But he is having a young people study at Marion Gary there in Zimbabwe. And this is where they're studying. This is the young people there under the tree. I've been under that tree. Bob will be thinking some about racial prejudice, ethnic prejudice. We'll stretch that out a little bit further, I think, as is intended in the book of Galatians. All of our talks have to do with freedom as is proclaimed to us in the book of Galatians. And freedom from prejudice is something that is proclaimed loud and clear in the book of Galatians. During the Second World War, Nazi Germany occupied a number of other countries. They occupied what is now the Czech Republic, it was Czechoslovakia then. They occupied Austria, Poland, Denmark, Norway, Belgium, the Netherlands, France, the Channel Islands in between, you know, France and Britain. They occupied part of the Soviet Union. They occupied part of Italy. And the thing about Nazi occupation, because of restrictions, it didn't matter if you were a communist, a socialist, a gypsy, a Jehovah's Witness, a homosexual, somebody who just was asocial, somebody who was a Jew especially, you were likely to be arrested. That day, over 160,000 men raided the beaches and stormed up the coast. In the following weeks, and yet the world celebrates, is the priceless blood of Jesus Christ that paid the price for our freedom. Priceless, in the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he says that you were redeemed not with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What value could be placed on the blood of the Son of Man? And because of that, he was able to give ransom for all, and a ransom again, that price is paid to set somebody free. Maybe somebody's been kidnapped. Maybe they are held against their will. Maybe they're in forced slavery. Maybe they're, human trafficking is going on. They're going to be used or abused for this, that, or the other thing. Number 13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the price that he paid for us was a redemption price that we might be freed from the bondage of the old law.
The implications of our liberty include the fact that we enjoy a fellowship in Christ among those who are of vastly different backgrounds, races, social and economic status, and places in the world. So my friend and brother in Christ, Kuda Kwashi Bangura, who is halfway around the world, is a dear brother to me and I to him. And we have eaten together and we have taught together and at times perhaps even wept together. We work together because we are brothers, full brothers in Christ. And the things that separate us, like language and distance and culture and skin color, don't make any difference and don't separate us really at all, because Christ paid the price for our freedom. We are free to be brothers. And I could say that about many others in Zimbabwe and other places around the world who are your brothers and mine, who are your sisters and mine, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And so when we look at the book of Galatians, we're focusing on Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs together of the promise. We are all children of the same family. We are all, there's not slave or free. There's not male or female. And I understand that there might be different roles that we play in the family of God. We'll talk about that if we have time a little bit later. But those things don't separate us from fellowship. The gospel of Christ breaks down those barriers, race, gender, class, and they enable us to share freely in the fellowship and unity of the Spirit. Jesus, when he walked the earth, broke through race, class, and gender barriers. We notice his relationship with Samaritans. Samaritans, we don't have time to go into all the history, but they had a relationship to the Jews going back in time. They were sort of a mixed race of folks, part Jewish blood probably there, and some of from other lands that had been located there in Samaria. They had a religion that was based on the Old Testament law. There is the Samaritan Pentateuch, so they have the first five books of the Old Testament. They respected some of the prophets of old, and so their religion was Judaism, but sort of slanted somewhat and perverted a little bit, and here and there not what it ought to be. And yet the basis of it was the same as the religion of the Jews. And so, you know, if you're a football fan in Alabama, you've got two big choices, right? How many are Alabama fans? How many are Auburn fans? All right, so I think Alabama wins that today. But nonetheless, we have this rivalry, right? So if I could pick out two colleges in America with student bodies that are the most similar to one another, you know which two colleges I'd pick, right? Alabama and Auburn. I mean, the kids that go to Alabama, they're exactly the same. They come from the same schools. They come from the same neighborhoods. They speak with the same southern twang. You know, all of that is exactly the same. You know who we have trouble getting along with the most? Those who are most like us, often. And so it was with Jews and Samaritans. If you could pick two classes of people, two groups of people in the whole world who are most like each other in the time of Jesus, it would have been the Jews and the Samaritans. And they hated each other's guts. Okay, they despised one another. And so you have in the story of the Good Samaritan, and we don't have time to retell that. I'm assuming all of you know it. You have in the story of the Good Samaritan this, you know, guy is going down from the Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among thieves, and he's beaten this priest comes by, and he just passes by on the other side. The Levite comes by, looks at him, passes by on the other side, and the Samaritan comes by, and he's the guy that helps him out. And Jesus tells this parable in answer to the question, who is my neighbor? This lawyer asking this question, who is my neighbor? And who is the neighbor in the story? The lawyer has to say it at the end. He doesn't use the word Samaritan. He doesn't identify him that way, but that's who he's talking about, right? He can't bring himself to say the Samaritan was the neighbor. He says, he who showed him mercy. It was the guy that did him good. In the Jewish mind, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. You know, the Indian fighters in the Old West, they're saying was the only good Indian is a dead Indian. And that's how the Jews felt about the Samaritans. The only good Samaritan is a dead Samaritan. They hated each other. But Jesus tells a story about a good Samaritan. That is so like him, because he is showing that all of us are capable of love and all of us are capable of not being what we ought to be. And here's a man who was a Samaritan, who was the neighbor, who was the example of what one ought to be. The 10 lepers, there were 10 lepers as Jesus was going through Samaria and Galilee that Jesus healed. And he tells them to go show themselves to the priest as they're healed. Only one of them sees that he's being healed and he goes back and he thanks Jesus. Jews never heard of a thankful Samaritan. But Jesus tells this. Jesus makes this happen and praises the one who was thankful. And then we go to John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Jesus is going through Samaria again, and he comes to Sychar, and he sits down by Jacob's well. And I've been privileged a couple of years ago. I actually stood there at Jacob's well, and you can, it's under a building right now, but you can go out and look up at Mount Gerizim right there, and you can just kind of see this conversation that Jesus and this woman have. So we're going to pick it up in John chapter 4. This woman of Samaria comes to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" There were two boundaries that Jesus was crossing. One, Jews don't have dealings with Samaritans. And two, men don't in public have dealings with women. In fact, the rabbis, the Jewish rabbi said it was a shame for a man to speak to his wife in public. So take that for what it's worth. But Jesus is not, he's speaking to a Samaritan woman. When the disciples come back, you know, they carry on this conversation about the water of life and all of this. The disciples come back later in the chapter, down about in verse 27, I think it is. And they are amazed that he's speaking with a woman. Why is he speaking with a woman? Why is he speaking with a Samaritan? Somebody tell me why. Why? Don't be shy. To teach her the truth. Why would you want to teach a Samaritan woman the truth? Why do they deserve a chance? They all have a soul that's of equal value. And everybody you meet has a soul that's of equal value. You have never met an ordinary person. There is no such thing. Everybody that you meet has an eternal soul. Jesus knew it all along. And he's showing us that he knew it all along. So Jesus died for all. And he wants the saving gospel to be shared with every nation and every ethnicity. We know the verses. The Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The word nations there is from the Greek word ethnos. Anybody want to guess what word we get from that in English? Ethnos. Ethnicity, ethnic. So when we talk about different ethnic groups, Jesus is saying, take the gospel to all of them, all the ethnic groups. In Mark 16, verse 15, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, 46 through 58, the gospel should be preached, remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I want you to raise your hands, and I didn't make this an interactive something we could answer on the screen. But I want you to think in your mind the answer to this question. How many of you have ever studied with someone who was of a different race? Well, first of all, if I were to ask the question, of course we talked about last night, we're free to evangelize. If I just asked the question, how many have ever sat down and had a Bible study with anybody of any race? That might be an interesting question to ask. But then how many have sat down and studied with somebody of a different race or culture, whether it's Latino or African American? You think Jesus would have been reluctant to do that? You think Jesus wants us to do that? What's he saying in these verses? Over and over, he's saying that, right? That should not matter to us, and we're to take the gospel to every creature. Now, Jesus gives that great commission. Who's standing there when he's saying that? Who's he talking to? The apostles. Very good. Not the epistles. Those are the wives of the apostles, right? He's talking to the apostles. So among the apostles, you have a guy named Peter. Was he listening to that? All right. Peter needs to take a little trip from where he was, which was partiality, to impartiality, and understand that Jesus has set him free from that. But he doesn't really get that, I don't think, in Matthew 28, Mark 16. And I say that because he had to be shown the meaning of the Great Commission in Acts chapter 10. We open up Acts chapter 10, the story of the conversion of Cornelius. Now, Peter, you know, somewhat got it, because in Acts chapter 8, he went and preached to Samaritans. But Samaritans, as we said, their basic religion was sort of based on the same things that the Jews taught. But in Acts chapter 10, you've got a man that was a Roman soldier of the Italian band. He was probably Italian, okay? And he's a centurion. He's in charge of this group, this cohort. And an angel appears in a vision to Cornelius and tells him to go fetch Peter, and he sends some men to do that. And Peter, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, as the men are coming to where he is in Joppa, Peter was up on the housetop praying about the sixth hour. He was hungry. He wanted to eat. He fell into a trance. He saw this heaven opened and an object, a great sheet with four corners descending to earth, all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. The voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean." A voice spoke to him again and a second time saying, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this was done three times. Right? You get the picture of the vision. The Jews couldn't eat certain kinds of foods because they were unclean. What said that? What rules were that? Was that part of? That was the law of Moses, which we're going to talk about in the next hour. We were freed from that, right? So that's, you see, this is that's going to free us not only from those restrictions regarding food, but also from some restrictions regarding people. Because there were restrictions regarding people under the old law, weren't there? But we're fixing to be freed from those. Well, we were already, but Peter didn't know it. If your mama tells you something three times, why does she do that? She wants to make sure you get it, right? The Lord does this three times, Peter. Get this vision three times. So Peter's still thinking about it when the guys come to get him. The Spirit says, "Go," nothing doubting. So Peter goes. And he goes to the house of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 28, here's what he says. He said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go in to one of another nation." What law said that? The law of Moses. He was not to go in, keep company with one who was of another ethnicity. That's the word. Listen to what he says. "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Any man. I cannot call any man common or unclean. I'm free. I'm free to associate with Cornelius and with Kutakwashi and with Julio and with whoever. I'm free. And what wonderful freedom. Peter will go on to observe in chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. He opened his mouth and he said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him." Well, Peter figures it out, right? Except, like a lot of us, Peter has a relapse. You ever relapsed? You know, you figured something out, you conquered some sin, you were set free from something, and then you kind of went back into it. Ever had that? Well, that's what happens with Peter. So let's go back to the book of Galatians. And here's where this sort of comes full circle. We started in Galatians looking at this. And now, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul's writing, and he says, "When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." Peter had a problem, right? Now, I just want to tell you, I don't get this. I have a problem with Peter's problem. And here's why. I love barbecued pork. I mean, you get what I'm going to say here? Peter had been eaten with the Gentiles. Gentiles make some great barbecue pork. Okay. My son-in-law is Cuban. Peter had tasted the pig, maybe. He'd been eaten with the Gentiles. And you're going to give up Lawler's to go back and... I don't think so. Not me. Once I've been set free, I'm gone. I am free. But Peter has such, what's his problem? What does it say about what motivated this? What's it say in verse 12? Feared. He feared. He was afraid. He was afraid what people would think. What are people going to think if they see you hobnobbing with Julio or Muhammad or whoever it is? What are people going to think about you? What difference does it make? Peter had to learn his lesson twice, the second time in a rather embarrassing way. Let's not have to learn our lesson twice. We are part of a family. We are part of a brotherhood, if we're Christians, a sisterhood that breaks down all of these barriers and goes across all of these boundaries. Another question, it's not going to be on the screen, but how many of us, I wonder, have spent the night in the home of, don't just invite yourself over to somebody's house, I'm saying, but you know, take advantage of an opportunity, maybe. And what we begin to realize is people are different, but people are people. And at the core, as we said a little bit ago, the main thing is they all have eternal souls. They all have value. They have teachable minds. They have interest in spiritual things. Sure, their way of talking about things is different from ours. Their way of looking at things may be different from ours. Yours is different from them. So what? Let's come together in united faith about what the Bible has to say. So here's what I want to leave you with in the final few minutes that we have. We are freed from partiality because the body of Christ is made up of many members. Let's go back to our key verse, really, in Galatians chapter 3. The verse I didn't read was before the verse that I read, which was 28. Go back to chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why there is neither Jew or Greek or slave or free, male or female, because you put on Christ. We have all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says we've all been baptized into one body. It's a body with many members. All the members may be different, but they're all united in that one body. And we're all working for that one body and for the well-being of that one body. We've all been baptized into that one body. We must do nothing with partiality. God doesn't do things with partiality. We should not do things with partiality. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, James is talking about, you know, economic, social prejudices where somebody's wealthy or somebody's poor. And he says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor or whatever. Don't do it. We are freed from partiality because the body of Christ is made up of many members. They're all different. Because we're commanded to honor all people. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but pursue what is good for yourselves and for all. And then 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, honor all people. The word honor there, its base word is tome in the Greek language, and it means to value. I value you, not because of the color of your skin, the culture that you're from, the nation that you're from, the gender. That's not why I value. I value you because you're a person. You're a human being who's created in the image. Our goal is to share the gospel. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm about to go over my time just a little bit, but I have just another point or two to make. It is not necessarily prejudice or bigoted, racist, to characterize a culture or a subculture as being a certain way. I know that the politically correct people say, oh yeah, if you make a generalization about a culture or a subculture, you're a racist. That's not necessarily the case. It depends on why you're doing it. I want to point your attention to Titus chapter 1 and verse 12, where Paul is sending Titus to Crete, to the island of Crete. And of course, there's a culture of people there, Cretans they're called. And he says, a prophet of their own has said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And then Paul says, this testimony is true. Well, that's not very nice. to say about a group of people. You know, there's a bunch of lazy people, and they're gluttons, and they're liars. And that's, somebody says, well, wow, he was really, he hated the, no, he's sending Titus there to save their souls. So what's the deal about that? How can Paul agree with this assessment of those people? Well, he's trying to help Titus out. Titus, you're going into some people. They got problems with lying. They eat too much. They don't work hard enough. Generally speaking, now he's not saying every one of them is that way, but he's saying, generally speaking, here's who you're going to be dealing with. And you need to, when you see that, you need to reprove that. You need to correct that. Don't just let them get by with that just because it's part of their culture, is what he's saying. What's Paul's concern? What's Titus's concern? Loving these people. So I was talking about going over to Zimbabwe. Kutukwashi is Shona. There are two main tribes in Zimbabwe. One is Shona and the other is Ndebele. They couldn't be more different culturally. The Shona are very quick. They are aggressive. If they ask you for something, it's more like, give me this. You know, the Ndebele, they'll ask you for something and you don't even know you're being asked for something. You know, it's like, you know, maybe I could possibly use this sort of thing, how, you know, something like that. So they're just such laid-back people. It's, and they know this about their subcultures. They're from different tribes. Now, if I have preacher friends that are going over there, that's one of the things I tell them. If you're going to be dealing with the Shona guys, it's a different deal than dealing with the Ndebele. Why? Am I trying to create a problem? No, I'm just trying to help folks, help people. So Paul, you know, Paul says, I've become all things to all men. There are differences between people, differences between Jews and Gentiles. Paul says, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means, can you finish that for me? Save some. Now, people are different. You got to know those differences. That doesn't mean you treat them differently. That doesn't mean you love them differently. People are different. That's okay. It's okay to know that. It's okay to talk about that. And the reason that you talk about it is so that you can show your love through even changing yourself, perhaps, to deal with them on their plane. Take about 6-7 minutes.